Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
BetMGM Network. Mondays suck, but they suck a lot less since we have Monday Night Football. We'll get into our favorite plays for Chiefs and Jags, including props, including a side, including a total in this segment. Then we'll get to some Major League Baseball as we have some of these divisional series still popping off. We have two games today. We have the Dodgers and the Phillies and the Cubs and the Brewers. Will we continue to see all these runs being scored between all these teams? We'll talk about totals and everything to bet on in those games. All coming up next here on the Daily Tip presented by BetMGM. It's going to be a great Monday. All right, Cenk. So since the Chiefs are playing tonight and it feels like Taylor Swift is on a full promotion tour for her new album, let me ask you, how has the hysteria been in your household? Because you are engaged to a Swiftie.
I am. It's been okay, actually. I haven't heard hardly any songs. I've heard a couple. But a lovely Catherine sat on the couch with me yesterday. We talked about Taylor a little bit and talked about the album. And I told her I was taking a break from all of the early reviews because I thought all the early reviews are always like, oh, my God, she's at it again. She's amazing. It's another bang. Oh, my. And so I always let that sort of fade and then get into, all right, how do I really feel about this music? How does it sound? What do you think? What are others saying when they actually have time to let the hysteria die a little bit, when they can really, or at least as objectively as possible, give me an idea of what they think? The only thing I've heard early on is that a lot of her fans, because, you know, she runs the gamut from very young to people who are her age, even older, is that some of her stuff is pretty mature now because she's, what, 35, 36? So she is writing about more mature topics, some of those maybe not appropriate for kids. And so some of her fans, not all of them, are saying like, oh, my God, what is this? And then another faction is saying, yeah, she's in her 30s. She's not a kid anymore. Like, she's getting married. She's a woman now. So what do you expect? That's coming from Catherine. This is not research I've done on my own. But that was the discussion that I had yesterday while watching football during halftime.
I think I did, like, notice that discussion. I think there is a very specific reference that maybe you are referring to in the song entitled, I think it's Wood.
Yep.
But, like, what do you think they're going to be doing when they get married? What do you think they're doing now? Do you think they are simply
doing
holding
it?
Hands?
No.
I got news for you. They're probably not. They're two good-looking people. So let's just leave it at that. But I'll say this. It does feel like Taylor Swift is at a stage where you have to be really careful about, like, criticizing her publicly. Like, this is what we used to do, I feel like, for Beyonce, where, like, you couldn't say anything even remotely negative about her without their fans just, like, coming at you. Is there somebody in the sports world that commands, like, this level of, like, cult behavior? Because I don't think there is. Like, even the greatest athletes that we have,
yeah,
I feel like most of them have detractors, because usually when you get to the mountaintop, people try to find flaws with you. And especially, like, that's kind of how the sports media landscape is. Like, we see this with Patrick Mahomes. For the longest time, he looks so likable. He has a squeaky clean track record when it comes to, like, off the field. He hasn't done anything wrong. But yet people have started to dislike him. So I feel like in sports, there's nobody like that.
It's probably, I would say in sports, it's probably like Jordan is probably the one guy.
Yeah.
But is the one guy who can't be besmirched, which I understand that. But I think the difference between someone like him and Taylor Swift, for example, is like, if you want to say, okay, you know, Michael Jordan wasn't the perfect athlete person. Okay, I agree with that. I still think he's the greatest basketball player of all time. But the difference with Taylor is that there's a personal connection. Like, I don't feel a personal connection to Michael Jordan, right? I think his basketball legacy is unmatched. But when it comes to Michael Jordan, the person, I don't feel like I can relate to MJ. With Taylor Swift, there are fans who feel like they relate to her. Like, they, you know, that's her appeal, right? She's the every woman. You know, it doesn't matter who you are. You can attach yourself to her. So a criticism feels more personal, I feel like, if you come after someone like her as opposed to an athlete, because it's really hard to relate, at least for, I think, the gamut of us, to a professional athlete.
I think that's part of the mystique, though. Like, I think people like professional athletes that feel like they are like Greek gods. Like, they're some mythical being that's untouchable, because that's how Michael Jordan felt. Like, he felt like he was a different species of person than the normal guy who's just walking down the street and is fine with getting beat and, like, you know, locker room craps. Like, that's not flying with Michael Jordan. So I think that's something that goes against some of modern day athletes, because they don't seem as mean as Michael Jordan. And maybe people hold that against Patrick Mahomes, but I think some of it is that when he cries about the calls that he doesn't get, and you're like, listen, Patrick, you've gotten your fair share of calls that shouldn't have gone the other way, so maybe let's cool it on, you know, complaining about the refs.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. And also, I think social media has just, you know, added just a different layer there. You know, we might feel different about some of these athletes had that existed, which I'm glad it didn't exist back then, but certainly you get a different perspective on different people because everyone's out there all the time. And sometimes it's better not to know things. You know, sometimes it's better just to focus on a singular item, which is someone's athletic talent, as opposed to everything else that you tend to find out about, even if the athlete doesn't want that to happen. Like Joe Burrow is a good example, right? He doesn't necessarily want his personal life to be out there. He's talked about that, but he can't really help it. No matter what, people are going to take pictures or take videos of what he's doing. They're going to talk about it. They're going to put it up for discussion, and that changes your perspective on the athlete that you're talking about.
Well, and also, like, the internet is a bunch of haters. Like, every time I look, they are breaking down somebody who is, like, otherworldly. They're like, Margot Robbie is mid. I'm like, have you seen a real-life woman in person? Like, you would stop dead in your tracks if you saw Margot Robbie in person. So, like, people say this stuff about Patrick Mahomes as well, and it's hard to, like, put a cap on his legacy before his career is over, but maybe we have another great game from Patrick Mahomes and company tonight on Monday night. All right, so it's the Chiefs at the Jags. Chiefs laying 3.5, total of 45.5. And Jenks, I feel like the bottom line in this game is, how much do you believe in the Chiefs? Because if you believe that the Chiefs are back at full strength, and I know there's been some talk about Xavier Worthy being questionable in this game, but it does look like he is going to play, that I think a lot of it depends on how much you believe in the Chiefs. Because if they are, you know, operating at full force, and even when they haven't been, like, they have still been a good team. They've had a tough schedule. And then you look at the Jags, who have had kind of a cupcake schedule. How much do you believe in the Chiefs?
I believe in the Chiefs to a point. I will say, and I hate transitive properties, right? So I hate when, okay, the Chiefs beat the Ravens really soundly, and the Ravens looked like they sucked yesterday against the Texans. So that means the Chiefs aren't very good. I don't really like doing that. I think it's easy to do that. I will also say the Ravens are not very good. You know what I mean? So I think the Chiefs are exactly what we've sort of said over the past few weeks, which is this is a very good football team, but I still don't think they're at the level that they were 2 or 3 years ago where you just can't touch them. Now, they are going to get even better. And Xavier Worthy led the team in rushing and in receiving last week. They're going to get Rashee Rice back. They're going to get even better. So the story is certainly not written on Kansas City. I think they're better than we thought they were going to be at the beginning of the season when we weren't quite sure. So they're the Chiefs, right? They're just not max Chiefs. They're like at 8 or 9 level Chiefs instead of 10 level Chiefs. But I think we'll find out more about the Chiefs tonight, because the Jags are more of a complete football team than the Ravens. Like, the Ravens are just garbage. So what looked to be an incredible win last week, even with Lamar, I think now that we're seeing more and more from the Ravens, maybe gives you a little perspective on, yeah, they were going to win that game, but it's not as impressive as maybe we thought at the time. I feel like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth here.
Well, because there are, I think, good arguments for both sides of the coin.
Yeah.
Because I think what is setting me off on this one is the 3.5. Because I do think the Chiefs are going to win this game. Because also, it's a primetime game. And it comes down to trust issues that I have with the Jaguars. Like, do you really implicitly trust Trevor Lawrence? Like, as somebody who has bet on the Jags, I think in a postseason game against the Chiefs, I think there was a game they were getting like 9.5 points. I said, oh, yeah, 9.5 points. They're, you know, going to maybe make this a game. And it just wasn't the case. And then you look at the Jags this year, and Trevor Lawrence has a completion percentage of 58%. He has, let's see, 5 touchdowns to 4 interceptions. And I will say, the one thing that we have seen all season long, you know, consistently speaking from the Chiefs, is that their defense has been very, very good. So I think that's my biggest question for the Jags, is how much do you trust this Jags team in a big moment against a great defense? And I feel a little shaky saying, oh, yeah, I really trust the Jags. Like, maybe the 3.5 is the difference maker, because I can see the Chiefs kind of lollygagging through this one and just playing, you know, to simply win the game, because that's kind of been the game plan for Kansas City over the past few years, is when they win, usually it's not going to be by a ton. I understand last week was different, but, you know, the Ravens kind of threw in the towel there. So I think I'm torn on the spread. I do think the Chiefs are going to win, but, Jenks, the big question is, is 3.5 too much?
I think so. I feel like this number is kind of begging you to take the Chiefs, and I feel like the Jags are maybe the call here. I don't know if I have the guts to bet it, but you're right about Trevor Lawrence. Like, he's been okay, and the reason why they brought in Liam Cohen is to take Trevor Lawrence to the next level. He has 5 touchdowns, 4 picks this season, so he could certainly elevate, and they're hoping that he will. And also, this is a transition period. So when you're talking about working with a new offensive coordinator or new head coach, even guys who are veterans, which I think Trevor Lawrence is now a veteran, you know, when you have someone who wants to change the way you do things, that change the way you've always done things, that is a period that takes some time for you to fully sort of feel comfortable with that, with those changes. And I feel like Trevor Lawrence is going through that. I will also say that on the ground, Jacksonville has a real chance here, because the Chiefs are good defensively, but they're really good against the pass and very okay against the run. They're 22nd in the NFL against the run. And Travis Etienne has had a lot of success this season for Jacksonville on the ground. So he's hit over 100 yards twice this season. He's averaging more than 6 yards a carry. So I think what Jacksonville wants to do is let Etienne sort of churn up yards on the ground and take time off the clock and keep Patrick Mahomes on the sideline and then open up the pass game for Trevor Lawrence. I think it's a game plan for Jacksonville. I would lean Jacksonville plus the 3.5. That hook scares me.
I think what's tough about this game as well is that normally I rely heavily on numbers, and you look at the stats, you're like, wow, this Jags defense is really good. One of the best run defenses in the league, averaging just 3.9 yards per carry to opponents. But then you look at the teams they played. Like, here's the thing. Like, here is the quarterbacks that have faced the Jags this year. Bryce Young, Jake Browning, C.J. Stroud on a terrible offensive line, and Mac Jones. It just feels like sometimes you cannot look at those numbers and say this is apples to apples when you have a Chiefs team that's actually played some good teams. And I understand the Chiefs have also played the Giants and a terrible Ravens team, but they also played the Eagles and the Chargers. So I think it's really difficult to look at some of these numbers and be like, oh, this is a better team on paper, because at this juncture in the season, sometimes these stats are not the whole story.
Oh, no question about it. I mean, it's definitely relative to who you're playing and injuries at the time. Like, the Chargers are a good example, right? Like, the Chargers look otherworldly in the first couple weeks of the season, but they lost Joe Alt, they lost Rashawn Slater, and now teams are able to pressure Justin Herbert, and they're just not the same offensively. So those were a couple of massive injuries. I mean, Rashawn Slater was gone before the season, but Joe Alt being out too was just, you know, just a dagger for them. So that's why he's not performing, Justin Herbert, the way he was earlier. So the numbers you see now, you definitely have to look at the context of who they were playing at the time, injuries. You know, same things for the Ravens, right? So, you know, they were losing close games early on, but now defensively, they're a completely different team. That game against the Chiefs last week was over in the fourth quarter. So it's hard just to look at these early season stats, especially after 4 weeks, and sort of get a feel for who teams are, because the teams themselves are still trying to figure it out.
Exactly. So let's hone in on maybe some plays for this game. So we haven't talked about the total too much. I think I would lean towards under 45.5, but that is a very low number. Again, mm-hmm. I have been banking on the Chiefs defense all season long. You could look at a total for the Jags. Under 20.5 is minus 110. You could even go under 21.5, key number there, at minus 130. I like that quite a bit. I think maybe you go to Patrick Mahomes and his rushing attempts. It's 4.5 this game. We saw earlier in the season in competitive games that Patrick Mahomes is fully capable of running for his life. 57 yards against the Chargers, 66 against the Eagles. This is a primetime game. If you think it's close, I think Patrick Mahomes is going to be on the ground. Jenks, are there any plays you want to throw in here?
I mean, I like that quite a bit. He's hit that number in three of his last four, and he leads the NFL in scrambles as well. So it's not just the numbers that we've seen in these four games. Like, he leads the league in taking off. And also, think about last week's game against Baltimore. I hate to keep going back to that game, but that game was over in the third quarter, right? So there's no reason for Patrick Mahomes to take off in the fourth quarter of that game. If that game is close, he probably gets that number, you know, in every single game this season. So against this Jags defense, I like that a lot.
Right. Yeah, in competitive games, this is what we've seen from Patrick Mahomes. And remember, the Chiefs are still 2-2. They need these wins. All right, coming up next, speaking of needing wins, we go to the postseason in baseball. Dodgers, Phillies, Cubs, Brewers are plays for both of those games. On the other end, Daily Tip presented by BetMGM.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
And coming up in a few minutes, we'll get into the two big games on the card when it comes to Major League Baseball. Dodgers, Phillies, Cubs, and Brewers. And Jenks, I feel like this is one of the instances where it feels like a series that's early on in the postseason feels like it's going to be very, very big. Like, if you look at the Dodgers and Phillies, I think a lot of people will say whoever wins this series is going to win the National League.
Yeah, it certainly feels that way. Huge win by the Dodgers in game one, by the way. Massive. But yeah, it feels like we're getting that early, not early season, but early playoff battle where, look, these are the two best teams in the sport. And it's been that way for most of the season. I know you can maybe make an argument for someone else, but ultimately, haven't we felt this way for the entire season? It's kind of a shame, honestly, that it's now, but you know, it's the National League. It has to happen at some point, but there's no question that whoever takes it here is going to be a massive favorite, or at least relative to everyone else. And right now you're seeing the Dodgers at plus 240 and the Phillies at 10-1. So now's the time if you're on the Phillies. But yeah, these definitely look like the two class teams that are remaining in the playoffs.
It feels like what we normally see in like the AFC, where sometimes in like the divisional round before the AFC championship game, that we have two really good teams squaring off. Mm-hmm. And it's funny to think that not long ago, we were like, ooh, it's the Bills and the Ravens. Remember the first game of the year, we're like, oh my God, these two teams are in a class by themselves. RIP Ravens, I'm sorry that the season has turned this way. But it just kind of feels that way in the National League. But I do think it adds an entertaining angle to the postseason, where you have intrigue at every single level. Because I mean, I understand that the favorites have won so far, at least in all the wildcard rounds, but like, it's fun to have like really good series at every level.
Oh, no question. And the thing about the National League, I mean, if you're looking here, is that the Brewers are interesting. I think the Brewers are going to take care of business against the Cubs. I like them today, and we'll talk about that game. But even though we're going to get a winner from the Dodgers-Phillies series who's going to be the favorite, it's not over. I mean, we've seen that with the Dodgers again and again and again, right, where they'll win a series, and you could definitely make the argument that they should have more titles than they do based on their dominance over the past decade. But it's not going to be a pushover going up against potentially Milwaukee or Chicago. So, and of course, then there's the World Series itself. So there's going to be intrigue regardless of who wins this series between the Phillies and Dodgers, just because it's a pretty balanced field.
Right, and I do think that the Dodgers are far from flawless. Like, maybe you can get away with, like, a couple good relievers, like Sasaki closing it out in a couple games. But when your depth is truly tested is, like, the next round, when you have to go seven games. And we have seen a lot of these other offenses show some pop, because that was kind of my hypothesis coming into this round, is that can anybody outscore the Dodgers? Because the Dodgers are an absolute wagon when it comes to their lineup. But we've seen the Brewers put up big numbers. I know it's against the Cubs, but still, you know, the offense has some pop. And we've seen the Blue Jays coming out absolutely swinging, outscoring the Yankees, what, 23-8? Jenks, let me ask you before we get to these games. Mm-hmm. Did you see the Blue Jays scoring all those runs?
No, not at all. I know our friend Andrew Cayley, Blue Jays fan from Covers.com, is just, you know, doing backflips right now. But they just absolutely exploded. No, I did not see that. And I did not see Trey Yesavage looking like Cy Young. Yeah, I mean, Yesavage, bro, Yesavage. We're going to see that a few times. But you know what? That's the interesting thing about playoff baseball, is that all it takes is one team just getting hot for a few weeks and finding it at the right time. I don't know. It's not sustainable. I mean, this sort of run for the Blue Jays. They've been awesome at home this season, but even for them, this was completely unexpected. And especially against Max Fried. Like, that's the thing I didn't see.
Right. He gave up 7 earned runs in that game. So I will say this. Run differential does not matter in the postseason. Like, a win is a win, is a loss a loss. So that's the good news for the Yankees, is that this does not carry over to the next game. It's just now you're down 0-2. In a series that only goes, what, 5 games? So you're in kind of a predicament when it comes to simply winning games. All right, so let's talk about the games that are going on tonight, because we do have some good ones, starting with the Dodgers and the Phillies. If you're betting on this one, you might as well use an MLB Parlay Boost token over at BetMGM. Swing big on your next MLB Parlay. Use this Parlay Boost token over at BetMGM to score a bigger payout if your baseball parlay hits. So if you're playing both these games, use the boost parlay, or the parlay boost, over at BetMGM. All right, Jenks, Dodgers, Phils, Phillies minus 130 at home. Dodgers plus 110, total of 7.5 runs. Blake Snell v. Jesus Luzardo. Great numbers for both of these starters. But let me ask you about this price. Mm-hmm. Does this seem a bit steep on the Phillies here? Minus 130?
Yeah, I don't understand that at all. Like, give me the Dodgers all day. I love the way Blake Snell has looked late in the season. I mean, he's really gotten it going. And if you're going head-to-head, maybe you take the Dodgers in the first five if you're worried about that Dodgers pen, which you talked about. But you got the Dodgers at plus money in game one, which was unbelievable. When do you ever get the Dodgers at plus money? And I take them here.
Yeah, it just doesn't make a ton of sense to me, because even when you look at the starters, like Lizardo's having a good year, and it should be noted that he has pitched well against the Dodgers this season. So his last start was four earned runs over seven innings, which is still a very good start. And then very start of the year, he pitched against the Dodgers seven innings and no earned runs. So statistically, he does have pretty good numbers this year. But still, I don't know what it is about him. I think maybe there's some familiarity there between Lizardo and the Dodgers, because remember, he came up with the A's. So he faced him a ton back when he was in Oakland. And I'll say this, this is not apples to apples. He has to face the lineup that feels almost unstoppable this year, especially in the postseason, because it's not just Ohtani. It's not just Freddie Freeman. It's guys at the bottom of the order. Like Kike Hernandez, I feel like his October stats are unreal. Like, he just always comes up in big moments. And Teoscar Hernandez leads all of the majors in the post when it comes to RBI with nine this season. So I think that Lizardo's going to give up some runs. Maybe that equates to an over, because I did consider that one, but it just feels like there's absolutely value on the Dodgers today.
I think so as well. And you know, I understand why that this is shifted too. I think the Dodgers now minus 130. So I'll say this. You know, anytime you can get a decent price on who you feel like is the better team, and I feel like this is a fair price on LA, like, you just take it. And so when do you ever get the Dodgers at plus money like we saw in game one? Where do you ever get the Dodgers like this when you've got Blake Snell on the mound? Like, Luzardo is good, but he's not Blake Snell. I'm a huge fan of Blake Snell and what he's done late in the season, and probably because he's won us money. Like, he's been almost unhittable over the past few games. I know he's injured for a while, but plus the Dodgers have a lot of momentum. If you think about game one, the Phillies probably should have won that game, right? When they got to Shohei early before he locked it down. And then didn't Shohei go 0-for-4 with four strikeouts in that game? Like, it was right there for the take.
Golden sombrero.
Yeah, man. Like, when does that happen? And, you know, you can't take care of business against the Dodgers. If you're going to do it, that was the day to do it, and they didn't. So I feel like the money and the momentum is with LA, and for good reason.
Yeah, absolutely. What about an over in this game, Jenks? Do you think both these offenses are going to score some? Or do you say, hey, I'm banking on Blake Snell to have a great day?
Yeah, overs are tough for me in playoff baseball, just in general, just because the way games are managed and because, you know, these guys are on short leashes. But the thing is, you're talking about Dodgers-Phillies, right? So I feel like the Phillies can get a couple off Snell. Lizardo is fine. He's not on Snell's level. And then you talk about that Dodgers bullpen, which is the one area where they have weakness. I think I would go over 7.5. Yeah, that's what the total is, 7.5. I think I would probably go over here. As much as my inclination is to bet unders in playoff games, with these two teams and the bats on each side, I feel like you have to go to the over.
Yeah, or if you only want to trust one side of the equation, Jenks, over 3.5 runs for the Dodgers is minus 145. How do we feel about that?
That's pretty good. I mean, I got the Dodgers here, but over 3.5, what is it juiced to? Minus 130?
Minus 145. A little 145? Juicy, but four runs for this Dodgers lineup?
I can get four. I need to look deeper into Lizardo's numbers, because I was so focused on Snell yesterday. I mean, Blake Snell has given up three earned over his last four appearances. Faced the Phillies in one of those starts on September 17th. He pitched seven innings of two-hit baseball, struck out 12. Like, the more I look at this, the more I just love L.A.
Right. Or you could get cute with it. And I know we like to build, like, alt-leg parlays, like over 2.5 runs for the Dodgers. I feel like even if you combine that with something else today, I think that's a pretty solid parlay leg. Mm-hmm. So something to marinate on for the rest of the day. So let's go to the next game in case we like something there. Cubs and Brewers. So it looks like it's Shota Imanaga v. Aaron Ashby for the Brew Crew. And it is, let's see what this price reads. I would imagine the Brewers are probably favored in this game. They are minus 125 and the Cubs are plus 105. Total of 8 runs. So in game one, the Brew Crew put the beat down on the Cubs and scored a bunch of runs. So, Jenks, do you think it's more of the same for the Brewers today?
Yeah, I like the Brewers a lot today because I know you see Aaron Ashby on the mound, but he's probably going to give way to Quinn Priester, I think. So that's sort of the plan.
But even if
So, and Aaron Ashby's been really good, right? So I know he's a member of the bullpen. And even if they don't go with Quinn Priester, I mean, that needs to be verified. That's what I keep reading. But the Brewers have the third best bullpen in the National League this season. So even if it's a bullpen game for longer than we anticipate, I just love the way the Brewers are playing right now. And I don't trust Shota Imanaga at all. Like early in the season, you know, he was throwing gas. There's no question about it. But if you look at his performance over the last, what, third of the season, he's given up at least two runs in seven straight starts. His ERA has jumped from 3.15 to 4.50. So we know the Brewers had the best run differential in all of baseball. They had the third best record in Major League Baseball at home this season. I'm going to be on Milwaukee.
Yeah, it feels like, I don't want to say like a disrespectful price, but like minus 125 for a team that not only has the best run differential in baseball, it's not even close. Like they finished the season with a run differential of plus 178. The next closest team was 153, and that is the LA Dodgers. So that's the thing. I think it's the combination of the Brewers having really hot bats. They scored 9 runs last time around against the Cubs. And the fact that the Cubs feel depleted from a depth standpoint when it comes to the rotation and when it comes to their bullpen.
They're
you know, they
out.
Had to go to a bullpen game, the second game of the wild card series. How do you think that's going to be sustainable? It's not. Like last game, they had Matt Boyd come in and throw 2/3 of an inning to start the game. Soroka came in for an inning, and then Aaron Civale had to be mop-up duty for 4 1/3. So it just doesn't feel like a sustainable game plan. I think the Brewers are the way to go. Is there anything else worth playing in this game? Like, if you think that the Brewers' bats are going to continue to feast, maybe look at a Brewers team total. 8 seems like a healthy total, but you would need the Cubs to contribute in some sort. Is there anything else we need to talk about in this game, Jinx?
I'm trying to think of how else I would play it. I would probably just stick with the Brewers. Maybe you go a... Maybe go on a Brewers team total. Maybe that's the way to go. I just cannot emphasize enough that I don't trust Shota. Like, I was on him early until I kept riding him, and it kept blowing back in my face. And I was like, oh, okay, he's, you know, he had a bad outing. I'm like, whatever, it's one bad outing. But then it was another bad outing. And look, he's absolutely capable of coming out tonight and dominating. He certainly has that type of stuff available. But we just haven't seen it in so long. And, you know, momentum is a real thing, and playing well is a real thing, and I feel like the Brewers have it in spades right now. The Cubs past week and a half, like playing that wild card, this is now we're seeing when you have a rest advantage can come into play in a big way, and Milwaukee has that because they have the fresher arms, and we're seeing it.
Yeah, you could look at total outs for Shota Imanaga. It feels very low, and listen, there's some sticker shock when you look at total outs plays in the postseason because the hook is a lot shorter. So it's 12.5 for Shota tonight, which means that if he goes over 4 innings, he hits the over. But under is minus 118. I feel like that's probably worth a look. Last time around, he went 4 innings. Should be noted that he did not start that game against the Padres, so it was kind of a weird thing there. But especially when your team is already down 1-0. Like, I just feel like it's going to be a little bit of desperation brewing for the Cubs. So I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't make it 4 innings.
Yeah, I don't mind that at all. So I really think a lot of people are going to look at this and say Shota versus Aaron Ashby, but Ashby will not go long. Like, he will go 1 or 2 right. innings tops, and then I think they bring in Priester, and it's going to be like, ooh, okay, here we go. I mean, maybe you could live bet this as well, which I normally don't do, but the Brewers have been very good to us, particularly when they're playing at home, so I'm going to stick with that.
Yeah, Aaron Ashby's out total is 5.5, so clearly the books are not expecting him to go very deep in this game. But I'm wondering if there's still value on the Brewers in the futures market, because we talk about them as being undervalued the whole, you know, season long. And again, they have all these great numbers to their advantage. And I'm looking for World Series props. Brewers still plus 550. I think that's a solid play to win the World Series. All right, coming up next, we switch gears and we go back to football. Some of the biggest upsets in college football and our takeaways moving forward next on the Daily Tip.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Might be a tough Monday for fans of Texas and Penn State. And Jenks, we know you're a big Texas fan.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I say this to Jake all the time, but Jenks lives and breathes Texas football.
I do.
When it's not football season, Jenks is reading the message boards. Jenks is dialed into the boosters. Jenks knows everything about Texas football. So when you see a loss like this for a team where not only did you bet on them, you also, you know, have your heart and soul invested in them. Was it tough to come back after this one? Like, how bad did this hurt you?
This is a tough loss. Like, this is a bad loss. And I think the one thing that we saw in this game is that Texas doesn't look like a playoff team, which I can't believe I'm saying, because I thought they looked like a national championship team before the season. And a lot of people are going to lay this at the feet of Arch Manning, and some of that is fair. But they also have real systemic issues on the offensive line. Like, this is an offensive line that gets no push on anyone. They can't run the football. They don't pass protect very well. They don't do anything well. I can't believe the defense got pushed around. So that was the one thing that probably stunned me more than anything else, that defense, which could make a legitimate argument is the best defense in the country, got pushed around at the line of scrimmage. And then offensively, if you're relying on Arch Manning to play hero ball, he's not ready for that. Not many college quarterbacks are, but particularly one that's being brought along the way he's being brought along. So there are a lot of issues with Texas, and, you know, I thought they would cover against this Florida team that I still don't think is very good. DJ Lagway looked all world out of nowhere. Like, he easily played one of the best games he's ever played in a Gators uniform, but Florida deserved to win. But yeah, this was a massive step back, because now it's not, hey, are you guys going to compete for an SEC or a national title? You might not make the playoff. We might see you guys in the Texas Bowl, because Oklahoma's coming up and there is no time to sit back and say, oh, we'll retool things. You got to get it together quick.
I think that's the crazy part for me, is the fact that Texas looked like they got pushed around on both lines.
They did.
You know, for a team that has all of these top level recruits and a team that was supposed to be top to bottom great, because like you mentioned, like, we knew there was probably going to be some volatility with Arch Manning. We've already seen that this season. You can't really count on him to, you know, be the MVP of this team. But I will say this, and I understand people look at Florida and say, oh, that's a team that Texas should beat. Florida certainly has some talent this year. Mm-hmm. And when you look at DJ Lagway, it almost feels like shades of Anthony Richardson to me, where sometimes he looks amazing. Sometimes he looks really bad, but there are certainly those flashes in there that are going to get the scouts' attention. And there's a reason the Colts, you know, took a chance on Anthony Richardson. Obviously, that did not work out. But here's the other thing. Playing in the swamp is a very tough place to play.
Yeah.
The Florida Gators are 8-3 against top 10 teams in the swamp since 2012. And think about those Florida teams. Those are not the glory years of Florida. Like, some of those years are years in which they had head coaches fired. So I think that just goes to show that you do not go into the swamp not expecting a fight.
No, that's true. It was tough watching with Texas fans at the end of that game, too, because it was just like, the thing about being a Manning, and this takes me back to the Chris Sims days, and I covered Chris, and Chris was just top-notch as a person and a very good player, but there was the whole Major Applewhite thing, and the thing about carrying that last name is it's all well and good until you struggle, right? And then once you struggle, then the haters come out. And so at the end of this game, I kept hearing, oh, man, Arch sucks. Screw you, Arch. I'm sorry, Quinn Ewers. This guy behind me. I'm sorry, Quinn Ewers. I'm sorry, ever daddy. It's like, all right. Just, you know, but he's going to get a lot of derision from Texas fans because he's a Manning until he's not playing like a Manning. And then here come the fans who are actively rooting against you. And I'm already seeing some of that.
Well, here's the talking point here locally, is people bring this fact up. So everybody here is Tennessee fans. Even Peyton Manning never beat Florida.
That's right.
It's crazy. I don't know what it is about the University of Florida against the Mannings, because I don't think Eli Manning had great games either. I know that's something that maybe doesn't
Eli
go
won.
Into the handicap.
It's,
yeah. Oh, he did?
Eli won, but Peyton was like 0-4.
Right.
So you're
and
right.
That's the year that Peyton Manning was like amazing for Tennessee. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. So again, it's like one of those oddities, but still, it's very, very interesting. But I do think that we need to go into some of the good things for Florida, because moving forward, they can certainly be a wild card, even in these games against really impressive opponents because of one of their young receivers. We have to talk a little bit about what Dallas Wilson brought to the table. Six receptions, 111 yards, including this touchdown reception.
He was a little bit lighter than that.
Landed down the sideline! Inbounds Dallas Wilson! To the end zone, dragging tacklers for a Gators touchdown!
Jenks, it's wild to me how much one player can really change a team, especially in college. Like, we've talked about this, how the number won't move in the NFL unless it's a quarterback or maybe sometimes like an otherworldly receiver, but it takes a lot for somebody to move the number. But I do think in college, because the defenses aren't quite as deep, and I think especially on the offense, like, we see this with quarterbacks. Like, if you have a great quarterback, it can overcome a lot of things, even for the entire team. So when you see somebody like Dallas Wilson, who is now going to be a factor for the Gators moving forward, how much does this change your handicap on Florida moving forward?
I mean, it certainly makes them more effective offensively. And also, I think he was called after the game a creature, which is absolute, you know, because he's 6'3", 220 pounds as a freshman.
Right.
Like, that's a monster with speed to burn and physicality. He's a five-star recruit for a reason. And, you know, I don't know how much it moved the number, but it certainly impacted the number of people willing to bet on Florida, whether it was sharp action or otherwise, because you saw the impact he had. I believe he was the first Florida, I forget the exact statistic, but it was something like he's the first Florida receiver to go for over 200 yards in his debut in like 30 years or something ridiculous. And there have been some amazing receivers, as we know, especially going back to the Spurrier days, come through Florida. So that's some very heavy company that is in. And he was, I mean, he just dominated. And again, this is a very good Texas defense, but when he got his hands on the football, they just could not bring him down if he wasn't getting open in space to begin with.
Yeah, it feels like even like 20 years ago, like, Florida has always been very good at turning out like skill position players. And I think it's because they play like flag football during the, you know, the non-football season months in the state of Florida. So That's just kind of how it goes. It feels like in the Sunshine State. Not much sunshine for Penn State fans over the weekend as UCLA upsets Penn State. UCLA, the team that had zero wins to their name before this game, with a massive upset over Penn State. And it was a familiar name who had a big game and ran it in for this touchdown.
Nico's going to take off. Nico to the end zone. Touchdown.
That's right. Nico Iamaliava with a big game here against Penn State. And Jenks, this is an absolutely damning loss for Penn State. Not a good one. The first top 10 team to lose to an 0-4 opponent in 40 years. That is per Field Yates. What do we think of Penn State now?
I think that we're seeing now, if it wasn't wholly evident before, that James Franklin has a ceiling. And he had a chance to break through that ceiling against Oregon, and it just didn't happen. I mean, James Franklin will say, by his own admission, and everyone has looked at the roster, and they will say, this is the best Penn State team on paper that he's ever had. And it's true. Like, defensively, they're great. They have an experienced quarterback in Drew Aller. They have an amazing backfield, and yet you couldn't get past Oregon. But that's okay, right? Like, it's disappointing, and James Franklin owned that. But then to follow that up with this, like, this is an inexcusable loss. Inexcusable. When you're talking about something that's happened four times since 1936, then this should never happen. UCLA is a mess. They fired Deshaun Foster, so they've got an interim head coach, an interim offensive coordinator, an interim defensive coordinator. Nico Iamaliava has been completely fadeable all season long, and then Penn State just lets him run wild like he's a Heisman candidate. If you're Penn State, you have to decide, look, do we enjoy winning double-digit games, but probably never winning a national title under James Franklin? And I think the answer is no, that's not enough. We're Penn State. We're better than that. We have a history here. So they're going to have to do something with James Franklin. I don't know what that is, but now they've gone from, hey, we can still make the playoff, to maybe you won't. Very similar to Texas, because they have to go to the Shoe, and they also host Indiana, and Indiana is no joke. So Texas and Penn State, both favorites to win the national title before the season, now fighting for their playoff lives. Two very similar situations.
Yeah, it's really crazy to me, because normally these are the games that James Franklin is good at winning. You know, normally the narrative on James Franklin is that he just can't win the big one. This wasn't even a big game. This was against an unranked team that hadn't had a single win this year. So he even said himself after the game that it just felt like nobody was mentally ready for this game. And listen, that's on the coach. Like, obviously, at the end of the day, the players have to pull the strings, but, like, that's on James Franklin. So now, as you mentioned, we have the preseason number one and number two who are now unranked, which is crazy to me. You know, how far both Texas and Penn State have fallen. So, Jenks, let me ask you, do you think there is a way or a pathway for either of these teams to get back in the top 25?
I think there is a pathway for both. They're still both talented. I think Texas has more warts than Penn State does, for sure. Like, when I watch Penn State, I don't see the talent deficiency that I see with Texas. Because a lot of these guys, if you're talking about Texas and the offensive line, they've drafted these big bodies, right? But a lot of these guys were projects that they thought they could bring along based on their development, and they just scouted wrong. Like, this is not a good O-line. When you look at Penn State, this is a very good team that just isn't being motivated. So I feel like if James Franklin can push the right buttons, all the talent is there. With Sark, he's going to have to make up for some real deficiencies, particularly on that offense, because it's not running the way he intended it to run. So I feel like if I'm betting on one of the two, I'd probably go with the Nittany Lions. But yeah, both teams have work to do.
It's crazy how the butterfly effect exists in sports, because, Jenks, if Penn State had won that game in overtime against Oregon, like, would we be having this discussion? Would they be as mentally unprepared in this game as they were going to UCLA? I don't know. It's crazy. All right, coming up next, you know what's crazy? The Patriots winning outright as 8-point underdogs as they headed to Buffalo. Our biggest betting lessons from Patriots Bills coming up next here on the Daily Tip.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.